I'm thankful that you're here this morning. It's such a good-looking crowd. Praise God. You ought to say amen. You do look good. Amen. I appreciate you being here. Let me welcome all of our friends in the radio and internet audience today. Glad you're part of the service of Benson Grove Baptist Church. Very special welcome again to all our visitors and guests. We're glad that you're here. Some months ago, we met some friends, maybe over a year ago now. They've been by on several occasions. But these are precious family. And they've shared a little bit of their burden for their daughter-in-law and for their son, who are missionaries as well. And we had planned for them to come back by. I've really wrestled for the last two or three days about what to share and preach this morning. And as I talked to Brother Jim this morning, I want Brother Jim Wilhelm to come. I want you to get to know him a little better and his precious wife. He's going to share with us the burden that they have and for their family and some other things. And then whatever God's laid on his heart, because we just felt like it might work out better that way this morning. I want you to make welcome one of God's choice servant, a veteran missionary. I want you to make welcome Brother Jim Wilhelm this morning as he comes to share with us this morning.
Thank you, Brother Billy. Thank you.
Bless your heart.
Well, it's good to see you today. So many have come by. So it's good to see you again. You don't know how good that sounds. Many times we sit on the field in Romania. We never hear from anybody. Occasionally we'll get an email. Sometimes somebody will call. But so much of the time I've said to others, as we've talked about Stephen, Lori, and their needs and the situation at hand, I said, would you send them an email? Would you let them know you're praying for them? I remember the time that Stephen was not with us, then he was. They had said to my wife, they said, you can't have any children. Not anymore. You have three, no more. We prayed 3 years. You just think about that. And God gave us Stephen. We gave him back to the Lord, preacher. Amen. We gave him to the Lord and said, whatever you want for him, would you take and use him? In March of 1995, Stephen was 15 years of age. And whereas some of the other children weren't quite as happy about Romania and serving the Lord in Romania or going to the mission field, he was ready to go. He said to me, he said, Daddy, he said, after we got there, he said, whenever we got ready to go, he said, I really didn't want to go to Romania. But he said, you know, God's touched my heart, and I want him to use me. We've had 21 years. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. We're looking forward to many more, but we're in a little bit of a straight, a little bit of a problem this hour now, because Lori, Stephen's wife, he came home. We cried when we left him here for about 5 or 6 months getting ready to go to get married. He got married in 2000. We all came back to Romania to serve the Lord, a pastor in Salisbury, North Carolina. We went by to visit. He didn't support us. We've known him. And this pastor said, do you have the money for Lori to go back to Romania with us? And we said, no, we really don't. He said, I want to write the check. Amen. I mean, what do you say, Brother Billy? But God, and now could I share with you quickly, Lori has not been healthy a good bit of her life. Did you know that God uses unhealthy people to be missionaries? Amen. And sometimes they're the greatest missionaries you've ever seen. Those that have infirmities, have difficulties, sicknesses. I recall the time about 10 years ago, Lori was there and she was having asthma and had real difficulties many, many times. And she's lying on the gurney in the hospital. They were checking her heart and an EKG, and she's still talking. And the doctor said, now, wait a minute. You just flatlined. She raised her hand up just like that. And she said, I've got a great God. Amen. That's her testimony. Her kidneys finally shut down. They said dialysis. They put her on dialysis. And she was been on dialysis, I guess, about 4 or 5, maybe 5 months now she's been on dialysis. They've lost a lot of support. Why? You know, churches just stopped giving. I mean, what do you say? The nearest thing to God's heart is a soul. And God loves missions. And He sent us where He has sent us. I didn't have any way to go for a trip to find out if I'm supposed to be there. A lot of people talked about containers. I said, what's a container? Thought that's maybe something you put on the grave with flowers in it. No, I'm just joking today. But what I'm saying to you, she's in dire straits now. They've done all they could for her, seems like in Romania. They've had problems with a fistula or the ports they put in your body to do that. Now she has a tube in her chest to do the dialysis on because all the ports stopped working. We have one new one, hopefully. This past week, the doctor finally said, we knew she had some trouble with the toes on the right foot. And he said, the doctor said, they looked like gangrene. They tried to fix them. The antibiotics didn't work, so they finally had to take 4 toes off. Now, we're making preparation with the help of the Lord to get them back into the country of the United States. The doctor said, we don't know what to do. 2 of them said, take her back home. There's not anything to do. So that's what we're working on. Miss April has been helping us with making some direction to try and find a place. And what we're doing, we're just simply letting churches know where we are and what their situation is. Wouldn't you love to see her get straightened out and just go right back to Romania? You can't imagine what we'll miss. Not quite as bad as missing Jesus, you know, but what we'll miss. So here's what we're doing. We're asking churches, individuals, whoever would like to help with getting her back, not only her, but the children. And let me say this, that they have adopted 3 children. However, the United States has not accepted them for immigration to the United States. 6 years we're involved. Now we've got a senator involved with this. Would you pray for the work there? Would you pray for Lori? Would you pray for everything has to be done? And by the way, they're going to need a place to live. They don't own a home, don't own a car. When they've been home in the past, Daddy had to buy a car so they could get around. And I'm not bragging, I'm not complaining, but I'm saying all of these things we need, maybe they can go back in a little while. But we're looking for somebody who has a house they'd like to let them use for a while. We're looking for someone maybe has a car, says we've got 4 or 5 cars, we don't need all these 4 or 5 cars. And also the transportation to get her back in. We so far have been promised $1,000 toward that. I've had a pastor at New Hope to say, let me know. We want to help with that. So that's where we are. And I ask you to pray for Lori, pray for her health and her strength, and just pray for God to do for her what she can't do for herself. Amen? Amen. Will you do that for me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. We're here to honor the Lord today. We're to give glory to God. We give praise to God. We give thanksgiving to God for His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, that He might give us everlasting life. I'm going to heaven one day. Amen. How about you? Amen. You know why I'm going there? Because I believe the Bible, amen. I believe the blood has forgiven all my sins, and I'm on my way to heaven today. And I thank God for that. I just think that all the years that I spent in religion and how that God had a plan, and that plan was for me to go to heaven. and for Jesus, his son, to take my place and to go to heaven for me that I might have everlasting life. Amen. Do you understand what that is? I go to Romania, amen. The Baptists don't even understand. They don't understand that when Jesus died on the cross for my sins and gave me everlasting life, I got everlasting life. How long? Forever. How long's everlasting? It's forever. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Did you know that we're now, if you're saved today, you're in the line of Christ. Amen. You're Jesus' younger brother. And so today, are we ashamed? Christmas time is a difficult time for much of the world. I was in a store just yesterday at Sam's, and they're giving out food. Ever go to Sam's to eat? Think about that. Now, you know, we do oftentimes, well, what do you want to do right now? I think we'll go eat. Amen. Then we'll walk around Sam's, and Sam's hopes you'll buy something before you leave. Amen. And I'm not touting Sam's, and I'm not bringing up advertising for Sam's. But this lady said to me, happy holidays. I thought about that a little while and I said, happy holidays? No, Merry Christmas. Amen. The Son, the birth of the Son. If he had not been born, he could not die. Amen. Born of a virgin. Think about it today. Just a virgin. Amen. Not a little maid, as it says in some of the Bibles out there today. But I said, Merry Christmas. And she turned around and said, Merry Christmas. But she said to me, I have to be careful about my job because sometimes people have come by and I said, Merry Christmas, and the boss came and said, wait a minute, you can't do that. Ashamed, what a word. Look at me in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. Our problem is the following Jesus. There's a lack today of a following. We can have so many people on Sunday morning, Sunday night, there's a few there. Wednesday night's another story. Are we ashamed of Jesus? I used to be religious, amen. Didn't carry my Bible to church because nobody carried their Bible to church. They stood there for the preacher to tell you all about it. I wanted to see it for myself. Just like the scripture you read about this morning when they brought the baby in there. For many years, that was in our religion. That was in our everything we did Sunday morning was there. And my wife said to her mother, said, Mama, did you know that he said, I'm ready to die? That's not what the Bible is teaching. He's teaching that we want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might serve him in newness of life. And so the Bible said in 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the shame shall what? Save it. And I'm glad tonight to have given my life to Jesus, thanking him for saving me and taking me to heaven one day. And the Bible said, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You today, my dear friend, I love you, but like Jesus, you've got a never-dying soul. It's going to be there forever somewhere. There's no purgatory, no such place as that. It's either heaven or hell, turn or burn, Jesus or the devil. I mean, that's the truth. Amen. We get in trouble for saying the truth, but the Bible said the truth shall set you free. And the Bible said 38, what whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm not ashamed. Amen. Would you take your foot and just put it down like this? I'm not ashamed. You take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you don't stand for something, dear friends, religion would make you think everything is all right. But only Jesus, only Jesus. They, in that scripture there, they're talking about the gospel of the kingdom, because the Jewish people weren't looking for Jesus to come and die on the cross for sinners. They were looking for him to come to the kingdom and set up the kingdom where he would be over the kingdom, you see. He'd be in charge. That's what the disciples wanted. That's what many of the Christians wanted, but the world did not. And so we find that the gospel of Christ is the gospel we need to look at. You say, where is the gospel in the Bible? If somebody asked you a question, said, would you tell me where the gospel message is? We say that's Bible. We say that's Christian. But tell me something. Where is it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find the gospel message. You say it's Paul's gospel. It was God's gospel. Amen. That's why Jesus decided before the foundation of the world that he would go to heaven and die on the cross for sinners. God decided, the Holy Spirit decided, Jesus decided. What a blessing, amen, that Jesus made that decision. But in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, the Bible said, moreover, brethren, now this is Paul talking, amen, and Paul is the preacher, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. You want to know about that? You'll find every doctrine you need in Paul's writings here. Every doctrine the Christian needs. But moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I, Paul, Paul's writing here, amen. We're not any longer under the law, amen. We're under grace. Because when Jesus died on the cross for sinners, grace began, amen. And we're thankful today it's by grace. And so he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died according to what? The Scriptures, the Word of God. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he's going on. The gospel message, what is it? The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he did not go up, if he did not ascend, if he didn't go back to heaven, I want you to take that hope out of there. It's absolutely no good without the hope of the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the cross. And then I'd say to you, there's a gospel of men. Did you know that? Man's got a gospel. And we'd find that in Galatians. Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 through 9. That man's gospel. What did Paul say to them in Galatia? He said, I marvel. What's he saying? I don't understand it. Why would you do what you're doing? Why would you live like you're living? Why would you live under the law and say Jesus died and gave us grace? Why would you do that? I marvel, he said. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. When you live by the rules and regulations of man, or you live by the rules and the regulations of the preacher, or you live by the rules and regulations of the church, you're living by the law. There's no more law, amen. Not to those that are under grace, amen. It's God's way, or we often say, it's my way or the highway. It's God's way, or there's an awful place called hell coming one day. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though an angel, though we, Us's? You know what I'm saying? UN's? See, people say, but it says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be what? Cursed. That's what happened to Israel. When Israel didn't listen to God and Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do, what would happen? The curses would come on them. And then if they get right and do everything just exactly right, the blessings came. We're blessed because of grace and God's wonderful love for us on the cross that he's given us such a blessed life to live. You see, we've got to realize that it's by grace, through faith, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that we're saved. Are you ashamed of that word? I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved today. I'm saved. We sing that song, save, 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 you know, because we're saved. That didn't deliver us from the life we're living in. You see, the flesh is powerful today, but the blood of Jesus Christ has overcome the sins of the world, and I'm saved today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, hope your Bible turns better than mine does, amen. I like to hear the rustle of the pages, amen, but my Bible's not cooperative sometimes. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the preaching, do you like preaching? Sometimes we have a time singing. I love to come here and hear the singing and be a part of the singing. That was my life for many years. But you see, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, there's that word again, it is the power of God. If you and I need anything today in our life, we need salvation. We need grace. We need power to reach back when somebody doesn't agree with us and say, look, I'm a Christian. I'm born again by the Spirit of God. I love Jesus today. And we can just reach, ever do that? Many times, you know, you think about passing out tracts, and I left my tracts at home today. I'll have to get some of yours, preacher, or get some in the car. Normally carry them with me. I was in a store not too long ago, and a fellow was talking to me about electronics, about tablets and computers and all of these things. And when I finished talking to him, I said, do you go to church somewhere? He said, I'd like to, but he said, I almost have to work 7 days a week. I said, could I give you this little track I have in my pocket? It says five things God doesn't know. Amen. He looked at me and he said, I thought God knew everything. I said, just read it. Just read it and see what it has to say and then put it together with your Bible. Amen. And then if you don't have things settled about your salvation, get it settled today, because God has not promised you tomorrow. One of these days, it's going to be all over, said and done. There's not going to be any more day. Amen? It's not going to be. If you're not ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, when you die, then I'd say, dear friend, I love you, but not like Jesus. Amen? He stepped down out of glory, went down to the earth here to give the gospel message and to show. Many people say, Brother Jim, don't tell me what you know, but show me. Amen. He showed us. He stood and he took all the beating and died. Just think about it. Have you ever thought about it? Would you be willing to die for your son? Or your grandson, or your daughter, or your wife, or would you be willing to do for that? You know, oftentimes that's what missionaries do. Because they saw the example. We're not going to be here forever and ever and ever. One day it's going to be all over, said and done. I'm going to a better place. I don't know what God has for me up there, but I'm in my apprenticeship now. I'm getting ready for Jesus. Amen. Whatever it is, I'm not going to be here in the preacher. I'm going to be up there. That's Bible, you see. Oftentimes we get so confused and messed up in our Bible that we don't have any idea what day it is. But I'm here to tell you this is a day which the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad. That was my pastor. Every time he preached, Dr. Jack Hudson, W. Jack Hudson, he preached, this is a day which the Lord hath made. But tonight, think about it. The day, think about it. As you go throughout the day, as you go to tomorrow, if the Lord doesn't come, look at Matthew chapter number 28 and ask God. He's already promised to give you the power. What kind of power is that? That's the power to live above the sin and the circumstances of life. You're not going to lose everything till you get to heaven. Amen. You're just a sinner saved by grace. If you're not saved today, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. And in closing here this morning, the Bible said in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Have you got an appointment with Jesus today? Is he directing you to do something? Is he appointing you to do something? The disciples went away. They waited, all except Thomas, and Thomas said, I'll not believe unless I see the print of the nails in his head and the spear in his side. And he left doubting. Dear friend, I love you, and you could leave doubting today. I think that I'm going to heaven. That's what they say in Romania. I think so. You mean you don't know so? How long's everlasting? Can you point back to a time in your life when you ask God to forgive your sins and the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and take you to heaven? Have you given your life to Jesus? If you haven't, and you walk out of this place today, you may never, 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 never have another chance. Jesus is ready to save you at any time. The Bible said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Don't be a doubter. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. No matter what your need today, the power is there if you're saved. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ, determining to walk with God and do it. And it talks about the power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go. You remember that car was a Yugo that we had some years ago? It was actually, I think, glued together, if I remember correctly. It was such a bad car that they finally took it off the market. They said, we don't want it anymore. Never had one. Pretty looking little old car, but glued together. And so it says here, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. God's got the gift, amen? And if you'll reach out and receive his gift, God will bless your life and make you a blessing to wherever you go. It's all in God's hands. It's to everyone, everyone that believeth. You know, I try not to be ashamed of Jesus anywhere I go. I try. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Have you ever walked away from wherever you are and you've been talking, you say, and God says to you, would you speak to that person? Would you tell them about Jesus? Have you got any tracts in your pocket? Would you pass that? And I did that yesterday again, and the person I gave it to said, I'll read that. I'll read that. I'll read that. Oftentimes, I've seen them reading it. I recall making a trip down to Roebuck, South Carolina. Not Sears Roebuck, amen. They closed up a few places, but Roebuck, South Carolina. And I was going down there to a pastor, and he wanted to take us home for support, and he did. And he was having a fish fry on Saturday. Well, on Friday night, he gave us a place to stay there, a nice hotel room, everything just right. Had just helped us so much. And so we went there, and we kind of got into the motel room. And my wife looked at me, and she said, "Honey, what would you like to have to eat?" I said, "I don't know. What's your favorite restaurant?" I'm not broadcasting advertisement again. But she said to me, "Could we go to Cracker Barrel?" Now, I know y'all have never been to Cracker Barrel, amen. But we'd be glad to go anytime you want to go because Miss Sandy loves it, amen. But some other places I like better, but you know how it is. Mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy, amen. So I walked out to the front desk out there, and I said to the lady, I said, "Could you tell me where the Cracker Barrel is?" She said, "Yes, sir, I can." Said, "She's one right down here close by," but she said, "It's not so good." But she said, "If you'll go on down towards Spartanburg," it was about probably 10, 12 miles down, and I knew about where she was talking, "go down to that one down there." And so we got there, got out of the car, went in, sat down, we greeted, and she said, "What you going to have to eat?" "What'd I have?" "Oh, okay." She brought that up again, amen. "I like fish, amen. So if you want to go to the fish house, that's no problem. I'll go right with you." But what I'm saying to you is, I said, "I think I'll have fish." She said, "But you're going to have fish tomorrow." I said, "Well, I think I'll have some tonight." Waiter came by, real nice young man, you know, groomed nicely. You know, you could see his hair was so nice and everything was just so, and he was just fixed just right. And we ordered and they brought our food, and I had a good time with that fish, amen. I want a little tartar sauce on it. Now, Hungarian people don't know much about tartar sauce. You like tartar sauce? I want tartar sauce on my fish. I want it even on my catfish, amen. I'm just loving to have that. You know, so we ate, we finished up, and I said to the young man as he took my bill and so forth, I said, "Young man," I said, "do you know for sure..." You didn't ask him right there in front of God and everybody, did you? "Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did." Guilty? Amen. So I said, "Do you know for sure when you leave this world you're going to heaven?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." Now, whether he was saved or not, preacher, I don't know. I really don't know. But I gave him the gospel message, you know, and we paid him. And my wife kind of likes to go out and walk around that front of those stores there. Y'all don't like that, I know, either. You know, she likes to walk out there and look at it. We never buy anything, not much anyway, but she walks out and looks, and I said, "Honey, let me just drink my tea." And I said, I've got something else to do today. "Just wait for me, be patient." Well, I waited for the young man to come back by. And he didn't come, and I'm drinking my tea, and I'm about done with my tea, amen. I had to, couldn't have anything sweet. I had to have unsweet tea. I grew up on sweet tea, amen. Amen. It just almost like syrup sometimes. But I grew up on sweet tea. But I sat there, and finally, I saw him walk back around toward the kitchen. So I motioned to him. I said, "Would you come over?" He came over, and I said, "I'm concerned about you." I said, "I hope you know for sure you're going to heaven when you leave this world because you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. But could I give you a little tract here? Could I give you a little brochure here? Would you read it?" He said, "Yes, sir, I will." What else could I do but tell him about Jesus and not be ashamed and look forward to one day when I get up there, of seeing him and rejoicing because he got saved, I hope, by the grace of God. I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to close the service now in just a little bit. Our pianist is going to come and play softly. I wonder tonight, when you pillow your head and you close your eyes and you say goodnight to Jesus for the last time today, will you be glad you're saved? Jesus, if He never did another thing in the world, He died on the cross for our sins. It's His blood. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will cleanse your sin if you're lost. I wonder tonight whether, when you pillow your head, will you go to sleep with Jesus? But before we get there, it's almost lunchtime and folks are getting hungry, but we need the food of the Word of God. We need Jesus. I wonder how many would say this morning, I'd like to lift my hand up. I'd like to give glory to God because I can point back to that day that Jesus came to my heart and saved my soul. Would you raise your hand up? God bless you. We'd certainly not come and embarrass you in any way today, but I'm telling you, there's a heaven to gain. Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when it is, but it's His plan. Just like it's His plan to die on the cross for sinners and to give us an opportunity to be saved, and how I can point back to that place in that great auditorium singing second chair, verse tenor in a 300-voice choir. Lost. God said to me that day, if you don't get saved today, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't know if He said that to me audibly. I didn't hear it. But in my heart, because I had read the Bible and I knew what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This morning, would anybody lift their hand up or just look at me and say, pray for me? Anybody lift your hand up? I need Jesus. I can tell you how, if you are sincere and you really want Jesus more than anything else, right where you are in your place today, you can bow your head and say, dear God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sin, Father. Come into my heart and life and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Just a simple prayer. Just a simple prayer. If you'll pray that prayer just now, mean business with God. Preacher, would you stand right up here up front? And if you made that commitment today, would you come and tell Brother Billy, I've asked Jesus into my heart today. Or maybe you have a need today and that need's not taken up in salvation because you're already saved. That need somewhere else. It might be financial. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. It might be it's time for you to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Time to say, Lord, I'm here for you. Take me and use me like we did with Stephen. Take him and use him. I want him to have many more years serving Jesus. If you've got a need, I'd say, dear friend, I love you, but not like Jesus. Come and tell Jesus what it's all about, what your problem is, why you're here. You say, well, He knows everything, but He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to come this morning and just say, Lord, I'm here again. Would you help me? Here's my problem. Here's my need. We don't want to tarry the invitation, but you know what God has for you? You know where you stand with Him. Our Heavenly Father, I don't know what to say, but thank you. Thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for challenging us today. Lord, in my own strength, I cannot do it. But with your help, all things are possible. Now, you know the need in the congregation today. You know the need there. So we just place them in your hands and ask you to help everyone that has a need if they're, they're willing to surrender and say, Lord, I'm here for you. You can give them grace. You can give them love. You give them hope. The hope, the fact that Jesus is coming in. I'm going home to be with you, Father. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Father, for what you've done, what you're going to do in all of our lives today. Bless Brother Billy. Bless the church here. Use them in a fantastic way that great things might happen because of Jesus. And we'll praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. Brother Brad, if you'll sing just a verse of song. Thank you, Brother Jim. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Christ of the gospel. And I think God gave us a word in all of our business. Man, you'll have a chance to make more contact with people now in the next 2 or 3 weeks than you will maybe the rest of the year, because you'll be in and out of different places and everywhere. I want to challenge you, as Brother Jim has, be a gospel witness. Get you some tracts, get some CDs. Let's try to witness to everybody. I was talking to Brother Dennis a while ago. Brother Dennis said he gave out about 50 CDs this past week. Thank the Lord for that. I mean, just to sow the seed of the gospel. I got a call from a man who lives over near Fuquay, a man in business there. And he been giving out CDs, and finally he wanted me to come and put a box in his place of business over there. And he called me on yesterday, I believe it was, or Friday. Needs a good many more CDs before Christmas. And he said, Preacher, he said, you'll never know what an impact the highway shepherds made on this entire community through here. And I said, I thank the Lord for that. But the reason is somebody's willing to give out a tract, to give out a CD, to witness for Christ. We'll pray one for another that God will give us boldness. But Brad's going to sing one verse of a song. If you need to come, that early church came and they bowed before the Lord after Pentecost, even after the great move of the Holy Spirit of God, and said, God grant that with all boldness we might preach thy word. I need boldness. Maybe you want to come and ask God to give you boldness that during this Christmas season you'll not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not saved, and the gospel's so wonderfully presented this morning once again. God spoke to your heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation. It's a simple belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to come, you come. We'll do one verse, Brother Brad. If you need to come, you come. Join these here coming out around the altar. Ask God to help us. God speaks to hearts.